It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition. I've lost track of the days because it feels like the draft week has been here for 3 months, but it is draft week. This is Birds 365, along with John McMullen. I'm Mike Gill. What's up, everybody? Martin Frank from the Wilmington News Journal is here. He's got a fresh column. It is out right now. And luckily, you don't have to wait till Thursday. He's got six players that the Eagles could be interested in. Now, Martin, we all know that Howie will be working the phones. He's already working the phones.
He's working the phones, Martin. Maybe Martin doesn't know that. Howie's working the phones.
Him working the phones is not news, Martin. But if he is working the phones, who are some prospects that he could be working the phones to move up for?
All right. Well, first, let me start off by saying, you know, the fact that there could be like six quarterbacks taken within the first 15 or 20 picks, I mean, obviously pushes down somebody from another position who could be like a top 10 or top 15 pick into the range of the Eagles. Now, Roseman and, you know, his staff will probably have like a list of players who are like, yeah, these are the top guys that we want. And if they're in the range, I think the Eagles will trade up to try to get them. So one of them would be someone like Alabama's, you know, tackle J.C. Latham.
Yeah, he, here's a smart guy who, man. Yeah. I put JC in there.
Yeah, he's a guy, you know, who started out as a guard at Alabama, I mean, as a backup, and then, you know, played right tackle the last 2 years. So, you know, if you're looking for someone who could start at right guard right away, he would be the guy. And then, you know, maybe in a couple of years, if Lane Johnson retires, he's kind of indicated like this current contract that he's on could be his last. Then, you know, he can move out to right tackle. So then you're set for the next several years. You can play right away and everything like that. So I would say he would be one of them. I would say also you're looking at a couple cornerbacks. I know the Eagles haven't taken one in the first round in over 20 years and definitely not under Howie Roseman. But, you know, a guy like Terry and Arnold for Alabama or Quinyon Mitchell, if they you know, if they're in that 15 to 17 range, I mean, I can see the Eagles trying to get up to get those guys too. Because, you know, it just depends on how they look at cornerback. Now, you know, everyone's like, oh, they didn't draft a corner. I mean, they didn't go after a cornerback in free agency, and they have Darius Slay, who's 33, and Bradbury coming back, who's, you know, obviously had a bad year last year. But, you know, they also got two last year as rookies in Keely Ringo and Eli Ricks, and both of them played quite a bit last year. Now, if the Eagles are like really high on these guys and think they could eventually take over, then maybe they won't go for a cornerback in the first round. But, you know, if you can get a guy like Arnold or even Mitchell, I mean, maybe these guys start right away. You can cut Bradbury with a post June 1 designation and, you know, take your chances with those guys. Also defensive line. I would say someone like Leitu.
Yeah, Martin, you are killing it, buddy. Now, that's just from my perspective, but
he would be someone they might not even have to trade up to get. He might fall into them at number 22. And the other one would be Dallas Turner, you know, from Alabama, who could be in their range. Now, here's the last one that I often get killed for, because you know, everyone's like, why would the Eagles take a wide receiver in the first round? But I would think if Brian Thomas is somehow in their range, like he could be a guy they'd go after. I mean, if you remember, they haven't addressed the number three receiver in free agency. I mean, you might think Paris Campbell or Devontae Parker could be that guy, but I'm not so sure. Here's a guy they could pick. He could be the number three wide receiver. And then you got to look 2 years down the road, because at that point in 2026, A.J. Brown's salary cap hit is $41 million. Devontae Smith starts his three-year $75 million extension. I mean, those two guys are really going to be really expensive in 2 years, and they might not be able to keep them both. So, and obviously, Smith is signed through 28, so they're not going to get rid of him. So it's possible. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. That's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't kill you for. I wouldn't kill you for Brian Thomas. If he falls for that, the only name I think is pie in the sky that you mentioned is Dallas Turner. I think he's going to be way too high for the Eagles to get in that conversation. Everybody else, I think you're spot on, but I want to focus on Latu for this reason. And maybe it's me, Martin, but when Howie did his pre-draft press availability, he got upset at being pressed on Hassan Reddick. Maybe not upset, but frustrated, I would say. And he's a very experienced GM, and he's used to bending off stuff like that pretty easily. And he was a little bit, whatever word you want to use, but he wasn't his typical self. And he mentioned the word, hey, guys, this stuff doesn't happen in vacuum. You know, and that's me. We have too much time to the draft. So it might be me, paralysis by overanalysis, but that to me was indicated, hey, dummies, something's coming. And I'm thinking to myself, if they medically cleared Latu and they brought him in on a top 30 visit, because he's got some medical issues, he had neck fusion surgery, had to medically retire for a while while he was at Washington. Boy, if he didn't have those issues, he might be the best defensive player in this draft. That, to me, is a very Eagles-y pick if they cleared him medically. Am I going too far with this conspiracy theory?
No, not at all. I think sometimes people try to, like, overthink these things.
Well, that's overthinking, probably. But
yeah, and, you know, if the guy's good and you think he's going to be into your team and everything and he can play, you know, you're going to take a chance on him. I mean, that's just the way I see it. You know, obviously the neck thing is a concern, but he's played, like, I believe every game the last 2 years at UCLA. I don't think it's been an issue as far as I know.
Haven't the Eagles learned their lesson with neck injuries and red flagging people and having that blow up in their face?
DK Metcalf. Yeah.
Sometimes it's worked out. I mean, look at Landon Dickerson. I mean, people wouldn't touch him because of all the knee and ankle injuries that he had in college. And, you know, he's a two-time Pro Bowl player, probably the best or one of the best left guards in the NFL, if not the best. So, you know. Sometimes
yeah, but neck injuries are different than knee injuries. I mean, neck injuries are a lot more uncertain, I think, from a medical perspective.
Sure.
And that's why I think it scares more teams off when you have some neck issues. And that's what happened with DK Metcalf. So you hear it all the time, Martin. How many Eagles fans say, oh, you should have taken DK Metcalf? He was off the board. The medical people said you couldn't take him till day three. So, I mean, at that point, blame them, and they've changed that staff since. But, yeah, that happens. I mean, and Howie mentioned that in his press conference, the medical stuff. It's like, we're not experts. We have to rely on them. So when it comes to those players, understand certain guys are probably going to be flagged for medical reasons. And Latu might be one of them. Hopefully he's not, because he's a very good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, it's a position that we know that they would draft, you know, an edge rusher is something that no one would be shocked. Martin, you wrote at the Wilmington News Journal about the Eagles trading up and the lessons that they've learned from not doing so in the past. So kind of give a little expository, if you will, on that reasoning on why and what they've learned from not doing it in the past.
All right. Yeah. You go back to the 2014 draft, and coincidentally, the Eagles were picking number 22 that year. And Chip Kelly was the head coach, and I remember he was telling us that they have six players that they really like. So they're sitting there number 22, and the draft gets to number 20, and two of those guys are still there. Well, sure enough, who was it? New Orleans takes Brandon Cooks at number 20. And then Green Bay trades up ahead of the Eagles at number 21 and takes Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So those were, like, obviously the last two guys that the Eagles were left that the Eagles really wanted. So those guys gone, they trade back to number 26 and they get Marcus Smith, you know? So, like, here they are. They think, oh, well, two picks to go, two guys left. We could get one of them, and they're both gone. So, I think they learned their lesson from that. I mean, if you go back to ever since Howie became, you know, got full power in 2016 again, they've only traded back once, and that was in 2018 when they traded the last pick of the first round and ended up
Jackson pick, by the way.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Yeah. They ended up, you know, those were the picks that led to Dallas Goedert. So yeah. That was the only time he's traded back since then. And then the only time he stood pat was 2020 when they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that didn't work out. But that was the coaches, Martin. That was the coaches. Yeah. I from Howie's perspective, and you make a good point with the Marcus Smith story, but I kind of, you know, if you have that group and we're in agreement, I think Arnold's one of them. I think Latham's one of them, perhaps Latu, as I said, and maybe Quinyon Mitchell, who knows. But those are the groups. And the kid from Washington who can also play guard, he might be in the mix. That's like the cloud of four or five prospects. If he can't go up to get one of those guys, I'd rather trade back.
I was going to ask you guys, like, where their roster is. They have a lot of core guys locked in. I mean, they do have a lot of players that they have targeted and signed, but the rest of the other guys seem to be an older group. You know, Bradbury, Slay, Graham. You got a bunch of guys who are older. So is this the feel of, hey, let's get more volume and move ourselves back to start to get younger on this roster on the peripherals?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think they want to do that. It's just a question of how they do that. You want to get younger, but you also want to get younger with good players who can become guys like Brandon Graham or Jason Kelce or Lane Johnson. So, I mean, just to get younger isn't necessarily helping you out if these guys can't end up playing. I mean, you would obviously trade up if you think you have a sure thing. But, yeah, I mean, like John was saying, I mean, it's possible that none of those guys are, you know, are go earlier than they thought, and they might trade back and you get some extra picks. And, you know, that's where Howie and his staff have to do their best work and figure out, like, you know, how they can make those picks pay off. Because obviously, you know, when you're picking in the first round, it's still like an only 50% success rate. But that obviously goes down as you get in the later picks. And they've done pretty well, like, over the past few years, especially like with their late round picks and even their undrafted guys. But, you know, it's more of a risk. I mean, it might not pay off. That's the only thing. I mean, I'm not a big fan of trading back in this draft in particular, because, you know, I think the quarterbacks are going to affect it so much that they'll be able to get somebody really good. But yeah, if those guys are gone, or if the price to move up isn't quite what the Eagles are willing to pay, then yeah, you're probably better off trading back than standing pat. I mean, you just get the extra picks. And then
yeah, and I think, you know, everybody, too many, assume that, oh, you want to trade up, you just trade up. You want to trade back, you need two to tango at all times, Martin. So, you know, from that perspective. But let's say our cloud of prospects, we just gave it, those few players aren't there. The Eagles aren't able to trade up. And you're sitting there at 22, and that's where I would try to trade down. But the same thing applies. You need somebody who wants to come up, and maybe that doesn't work. And you're forced to take a prospect. And then my cloud's going to be, say, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, Cooper DeJean.
I'm out on Mims, by the way. I'm out.
Nate and Mike's out on Mims. Nate Wiggins. Anybody else? And would you feel comfortable with any of those guys?
Well, the Eagles put out a tweet yesterday or a post, whatever we're calling it in 2024, with all the Georgia players. None of them have done a damn thing except for maybe Jalen Carter. Yeah, I mean, you're putting.
I disagree on Jordan Davis. I think people don't understand Jordan Davis' role.
I get his role. I really do. I understand his role. I don't think that you have gotten what you were hoping for out of his role. Maybe he's fulfilling it, but you were looking for a dominant player who was a game wrecker, not statistically a game wrecker, but peripherally a game wrecker that other people could prosper from his presence. And that's not happening, is it? Or am I wrong?
I don't think he's as good as they thought he was going to be. I think that part's accurate, but I think he's one of the best pure run stuffers in football. It's just boring. I think that part's true as well. I think the biggest issue is conditioning, very similar to Joel Embiid.
If I take you at 13 and you're not conditioned, that's a problem. Put it this way.
That's a problem. That's fair.
I would say, right, my point is, you're telling me we've got a lot of Bulldogs on our team, and I'm looking at that picture saying, none of them are helping me out.
Well, Carter is.
Carter, yes.
And
Carter,
I think Davis is as well.
And I think yeah. Ringo has the potential.
I love Ringo's potential.
I you know, he was 20 years old when they drafted him. I mean, they kind of knew, like, this would be kind of a learning year. I think he showed some flashes, you know, when he got the chance to play. And I think, you know, if they decide, I mean, you know, who knows what they're going to do at cornerback, but if they decide, you know, next year, hey, let's go forward with Kelee Ringo, I think they'll be all right. I mean, I'm not sure he's going to be a Pro Bowl player, but for a fourth round pick, you know, I think he'll be good value. I mean, N'Kobe Dean, obviously, you know, he's got to stay on the field. But even when he wasn't that impressive last year. And I hear what you're saying about Jordan Davis, but, you know, he did play better this past year than he did his rookie year. And, you know, he still kind of wore down the stretch. And obviously that's going to be huge this year because Fletch isn't here. You know,
hey, I love the concept when they drafted him, by the way, as a guy who can just take up multiple blockers and then allow for his teammates to get one-on-one opportunities a lot. And it's been disappointing that that hasn't, you know, happened as much. Yes, he's good against the run, but I wouldn't say this was a great run defense last year, and it's not all his fault. But you're looking at a player who I think you were anticipating more of an impact, even if not statistically, at that draft position. That's all.
And I also
not calling the man a bust, by the way, not a bust, but seems like more of a.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, If you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He's a good player, but he won a great player at 13, which is where they picked him.
Yeah.
He's not a great player. I think that part's fair, but he's a good player. I think saying he's not a good player is unfair.
Yeah.
That's where I
think there's a little bit of the Brandon Graham factor going on with him too, because, you know, you go back to when Graham was drafted in 2010, everyone's like, why didn't the Eagles take Earl Thomas? Why didn't they take Earl Thomas? And for like the first 4 or 5
and
years.
And JPP. It was Earl and JPP.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, obviously, you know, it took Graham like 4 or 5 years before he became the good, really good player that he is now, or that he has been. And then with Jordan Davis, like, they traded up ahead of the Ravens, who took Kyle Hamilton. And
and by the way, the Ravens were going to take Jordan Davis. So everyone says, and by the way, Kyle Hamilton's a great player. Great player. All pro player. And I loved him. Jody and I loved him coming into the draft. It was one of the few things we agreed on. We both loved him. Phenomenal college player. I mean, just everything. But guess what? If he'd be here, they wouldn't use him like the Ravens use him. And they have him in coverage all the time, and he wouldn't be Kyle Hamilton. Scheme and fit is a big thing in this league. Totally. Mike and I were talking about it. But get back to 22, Martin. I gave you that cloud, and we got on that tangent, which I love getting on tangents.
By the way, I'm not saying that Jordan Davis is a bust. I'm just saying
he's a bust, Mike. No,
he hasn't been what you hope
yes,
for.
Yes, as the 13th pick, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if
you're still out, but yeah.
Yeah. So 22, Martin, you're forced to stay there because nobody – you can't trade up to get one of those guys we're talking about. Nobody wants to move up with you. So you got to take somebody. Mims, Guyton, DeJean, Wiggins, or somebody else from Martin Frank.
Yeah. All right. So if those are my choices, I'm trading back and still getting one of those guys.
But I'm saying you can't trade back.
Oh.
Trade back. Which one are you taking?
So Mims, Guyton, DeJean. Who is the other one?
Nate Wiggins. Or you could pick somebody else. If somebody else tickles your fancy. I like Grant Barton. I think that guy's a day one stinking starter at right guard. He can play center. He can play left guard. He can play right guard. I think he's one of the safest picks in the draft, but it's not sexy. The Eagles aren't going to take an interior offensive lineman, but boy, if I could trade back like 29-30 and take him, I think they're a better football team.
I don't
think the Eagles would do it.
I would. Actually, if those were my choices, I would trade back and be happy with any of those guys. I just think, you know, if I don't see any of those guys. Like, the thing with DeJean is he might project as a safety, and I don't think the Eagles want to draft him as if he's a safety. Like, if they're going to draft someone like that, you know, they would probably go with Wiggins just because, you know, he's a true cornerback and everything, and I can see them looking
he's
at.
He's so small, though. He's going to be terrible in run support.
Like, you know, once you get past, like, that group of six, you know, or even if you want to go a little bit higher than that, you know, 7 or 8, there might be a few other guys in there, too. I just don't see it worth staying at number 22, and you can trade back, get some extra picks, and still get one of those guys and, you know, take your chances and hope he develops. I mean, I don't see any of those guys you mentioned as being, like, really game changers, like Mims and Guyton. I mean, they're pretty raw. I mean, they would need a lot of work. And I think if you're going to draft an offensive lineman, you want someone at least who could play right away at right guard, because You know, I'm not so sure they're sold on Tyler Steen. I mean, you know, they tried that actual strategy last year, you know, drafting a guy who played tackle in college and seeing if he can play guard. You know, a guy like Latham, for example, has experience doing it, so it's not as big of a transition for him.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that, Martin, and I say, what if you draft Latham and he turns out to be like Landon Dickerson on the right side, you don't want to move him, and all of a sudden Tyler Steen's your right tackle when because he's more comfortable playing tackle.
That would be ideal because Tyler Steen's a tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a good player. Like,
by the way, I will say as well, I'm not anti-Mims because he went to Georgia. That was more of a – but I agree with you, Martin. The guy just hasn't played all that. He's only played like 8 games in his career. Like he's very, very raw. And as you said, Martin, his body – I mean, he is a flat-out tackle. I mean, the guy is – if you look at him, he looks like a wide receiver. I mean, a tight end maybe. He's just so narrow. He's certainly a tackle, not a guy you would move to guard. And as we all know, they need
Plus, he's 6'8". You can't throw over him. Exactly. Although, you know, Landon Dickerson's 6'6". So, I mean, they're getting bigger and bigger.
And Landon Dickerson came in with the versatility to play up and down the line. Mims, had really, in 8 games, has only played one spot, very raw. But Latham, it would be interesting. And as you said, the fact that they plug him in at right guard, I would agree with you guys. Similar to Dickerson is – man, we found our right guard. Now we can – it's almost like an evolution, though. Like, fine, this year we thought we drafted this guy like Juergens. Now Juergens ends up moving back to center. But Dickerson was originally the guy that was going to take over for Kelsey until they moved him. So then they had to take Juergens, you know, because they decided –
by the way, Isaac was the original Jason Kelsey
heir apparent.
They went through 100 heir apparents, I think.
That's right. So there's nothing to say they can't have the same mindset here and still find someone in the process.
Sure. And you know, who's to say like in 2025 or 2026, you know, you know, Latham's worked out so well at right guard. Let's draft a tackle and, you know, plug him in and replace Lane Johnson. I mean, they could, like John was saying, you know, they went 2 years in a row basically drafting Kelsey's replacement. They can go 2 years in a row drafting Lane Johnson's replacement, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can keep it going. It's Lane not in a vacuum, as Howie would say. Not in a vacuum.
Yeah, Lane Johnson's got, what, 2 more real years on his deal?
I think he's got three. Doesn't he have three? And then the void year. But he said he's got a couple years left in him, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking more 2 years. For Lane. But
I want to go back to, you mentioned wide receiver, and we talked about this the last time I was filling in here, which is if they take a wide receiver, what's the messaging there? You kind of hinted at the AJ Brown iceberg that could be emerging here down the road, especially if they took a wide receiver at 22.
Yeah, I mean, it's we saw that with the Jalen Hurts pick in 2020. I mean, you know, Carson Wentz was, you know, less than a year away from signing his franchise contract, and he couldn't handle it. You know, I mean, it seems like that's where they're headed. They're going to draft a wide receiver. I'm not saying it'll be in the first round. Well, actually, I'm saying it could be. And it could be in the second round. I mean, they want a number three wide receiver. The, you know, we saw last year how much that hurt them. I mean, they couldn't find anybody. Quez Watkins was a big disappointment, and you know, Julio Jones and OZ, they were kind of meh at best. So, you know, they had a big drop off from AJ and Devontae to the number three guy. And if one of those guys gets hurt, AJ or Devontae, I'm talking about, there's still a huge drop off. I mean, you know, is Paris Campbell good enough to be like a number one or number two guy anymore? I don't think so. He had one good year.
I don't think he ever was, Martin.
Yeah, he had one good year. And then last year he averaged like 5 yards a catch. Like, how do you do that?
how do you do it running a 4.31, which he ran? How do you average? I don't know.
That has to be like one of the most mystifying stats. I think he had like 20 catches for 104 yards last year.
Well, the Giants had poor quarterback play, as we know, with all the excuses for Saquon Barkley. But
Tyrod Taylor looked like
can't get the ball down the field, man. Can't get the ball down the field with that offensive line.
Yeah, Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think like they're definitely going to try to get a number three wide receiver in the draft. It's just a question of, you know, where they see it. I mean, they could go in the second round, get somebody really good too. By the way,
Lane Johnson under contract through 2026. So this year and two more. Yeah. But obviously the Eagles will, if he wants to continue playing by then, his guaranteed money would be up and they would have to work something out anyway. And then the Boyd year starts. So, but that's Lane's situation. You did bring up all-ball linebacker, because that's, to me, guys, if you were doing a power ranking of positional groups, that'd be last in my mind. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but that would be last. They need an off-ball linebacker. N'Kobe Dean spoke last week, and he called himself an optimistic realist. I'm like, oh, what are we talking about here? He believes in himself, but he's got to prove it. He hasn't played, as you mentioned. Wait, he started four games last year, and I think people forget what you said, Martin. By the way, he wasn't very good in those four games. He didn't look like
he was a guy I was very excited about. I thought finally they were going to get a playmaking linebacker who could do, you know, multiple things, coverage, force fumbles, get his hands tip pat, and it just never happened.
Yeah, it wasn't there. And he had two foot injuries, different feet. He's got all these foot issues. He's trying to find cleats where he's comfortable with. I don't know. Big question. Then we have Devin White, who, big name, was once the fifth overall pick in the draft, but he's getting paid $3.5 million.
I tried to get someone on my radio show to talk about Devin White, and they declined because they essentially said they had nothing good to say. This is someone who covered that team for multiple years and just basically said, I can't come on to talk about this player. So that's a pretty damning situation. Now, I hope, you know, like we talk about a lot, John. He's with Todd Bowles, by the way. Pretty damn good coordinator down there.
Yeah.
Good defensive mind. You're hoping that a different system in a different spot maybe gets something different out of him, but that is
And maybe he's motivated because he's got to prove himself. And he was – let's be honest. He was expecting to get a Roquan Smith contract coming out of his rookie deal. And he's getting $3.5 million. That tells you how badly things went for Devin White at the end in Tampa. But – you can't, my point is, Martin, you can't count on these guys. So the Eagles have to, we talk about how he doesn't draft for need and he typically doesn't, but they have to add an off-ball linebacker that can at least compete right away. Agree or disagree?
Agree to a point. I think they will draft an off-ball linebacker, but I don't think it'll be until day three.
And by the way, they could still find somebody who competes with this group on day three. I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
Well, is the day three linebacker becoming the day three running back, where you get a guy who can come in and play right away? You just don't value that position enough to draft higher in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, especially for the Eagles. Like, you know, they just haven't had, you know, much luck with drafting linebackers earlier, like 2020, the Davion Taylor pick, the third round. I mean, that was a disaster. You know, N'Kobe Dean was a third round pick 2 years ago. Everyone thought that was a great pick because, you know, people had him going in the first round, you know, but then he had the injury concern, I think, with the pec muscle, which turned out to be nothing. I mean, that hasn't kept him off the field. So I just think, like, you know, that kind of shows Howie and the Eagles that, like, you know, if there's no sense of valuing an off-ball linebacker that early in the draft. But, yes, you can get somebody in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round who could compete for a job. And, you know, if you need him, you can fill, he can fill in. I mean, you know, they look at a guy like Ben Van Sumeren, someone they signed as an undrafted guy. He ended up playing, you know, here and there towards the end because they had nobody else. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, it's just
it was. And remember, the best linebacker they've had the last couple of years is an undrafted guy in T.J. Edwards. Yeah.
And
they should have re-signed him.
The hero of the Super Bowl is an undrafted running back. You know.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they see it. I mean, yes, I think they need to draft one, but no, it won't be early, and you know.
You're talking about 120 on day three, I believe. That's the Eagles' first pick.
Yeah, fourth round.
And if Cedric Gray or Trevon Wallace, or I know Eagles fans would love Jeremiah Trotter Jr., if one of those guys falls to that spot, I think they could be a day one starter in Philadelphia. That's how bad I think the linebacker situation is. Do they need to change their philosophy? I mean, the 49ers got some good linebackers. Baltimore has some good linebackers.
Fred Warner, wasn't he like a fifth round
pick? He was a third round pick.
The Eagles invested in a running back. The Eagles invested in a running back. It's 1995 all over again, baby. Linebackers and running backs. Let's see it. Hey, Martin Franks over at DelawareOnline.com. He's got a great column out today that you can expand on this conversation in print form. We encourage you to do so. It is draft week, Martin. It's good to see you. Appreciate you chiming in today on Birds 365.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud. Hey, you doing the Sixers? Oh, I wanted to get a Joel Embiid shot. Come on. How is he not boxing out that goofball in the final moments?
I mean, he's just standing there now because his knee is so bad. I don't think
It's Saquon Barkley excuse time. The Sixers are I wrote the Sixers are like your favorite syndicated TV show. For me and Martin, that's Seinfeld. You see it again and again and again and again and again, the same thing over and over and over. That's the Sixers.
It's a shame. He was having such a great year before the knee injury, and it's the same thing as every other year. He comes to the playoffs, he can't move. He's basically a perimeter player. I mean, he's taking 3-point shots. He makes some of them.
He makes some of them. Oh, he's tremendously skilled. Don't get me wrong.
Offensively, the guy scores 34 points on one leg. The problem is you need a 7'2" man to grab a rebound in the game's biggest moment.
I don't think his knee is, good enough where he can.
And by the way, the sniffles are going through the locker room, Martin. Be careful if you're doing the game on Thursday. No, you're doing the draft. You'll be fine.
All right.
I wash my hands. You'll be
fine. The draft. It's all about the draft here on Birds 365. Martin, thanks, man.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Yes, indeed. The draft is Thursday. We've got all your coverage all week long. I'm going to be here the whole week, I think, John. The whole week got me here.
A little consistency with the great Mike Gill. Yeah. We have chemistry. We've been doing stuff together.
Well, it's not like we just met each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get thrown with somebody you don't know and you never met them. And it's just, we actually know each other somewhat well. Yeah, I'll be here all week as long as my schedule allows me to. But that's neither here nor there because we got another hour of Birds 365. Les Bowen joins us in about 23 minutes. So stick around for that here on Birds 365.